Okay, Ron, thank you so much, and good evening, everyone. It's good to have you with us tonight. And as Ronnie was praying, I thought about hope. And, you know, with life, if a person doesn't have that hope that goes along with this life, then he is a miserable person.
Yep.
Or she.
Paul said that.
Anyone that makes wrong decisions down through life and they feel like that if they give up something that they have now that, they'll be losing something. But when you trade off with God, you never lose. It's always better. Because the things that are out there are the things of darkness. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. But as before we get started, we realize that our study is study 53 in our part that we've named Wisdom. And we started it well over a year ago, but there's been two or three or four weeks there that for one reason or the other we didn't have the study. So this is study 53, and today's date is July the 22nd, 2020. And so that gets us our staff for the tape on it to know where we're at here. And we're still dealing with our walk. You know, and basically the greater part of chapter 5 deals with our walk in different ways. And it's still going to go on down through to the 9th verse of chapter 6. And, you know, you can find that if you look back in your King James Version or Companion Bible and see and understand that the structure of this concerning our walk just goes on and on. And so it deals with our walk with others that have no knowledge of the mystery truth. And then some that does have knowledge that you can, will listen to you somewhat and deal with you that way. And then you have the others that it comes down to the fact of dealing with the domestic part of it, which is your own family. And that's where we're headed. Because when we get through the 9th verse of chapter 6, then it starts into something else. But this is, excuse me, basically our walk, our manner of life as we go through this world in this day and age. And with the understanding that what Christ did on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, and his taking care of our sins is one part of that. But the other part of it is the part that mankind seems to shun or do not accept or do not see. The part that had been hid for years and years, and that's the part that concerns the body of Christ. And that's our hope. When you get right down to it, it is our hope. And I think that, it don't really matter what I think. It's what God's Word says. But the fact is, I've come to the several conclusions. And that's what God gave me a brain for. And you can agree or not agree. But sometimes I went to church all my life. And sometimes I noticed that people would come to church, and if an invitation was given, they would walk down the aisle and maybe talk to the preacher a little bit and have a little prayer and turn around and say, I've accepted Christ. And you look in 3 or 4 weeks and you never see them again. And I wondered about that, even as an unbeliever. That kind of got me, that somebody would do that. I said, you know, from what I've heard from my grandparents and all that, this, you know, if you made God a promise, you was kind of on shaky ground if you didn't keep it.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think that the Holy Spirit makes the judgment there. And I think the Holy Spirit don't indwell an individual that's not really truthful about what he's saying. Now, you can take it, you can agree with it or disagree with it. That, to me, that's kind of my thought. But the person that has the Holy Spirit present, and you allow the Holy Spirit to dwell with your mind, with your wisdom part and your heart part, and those two get together, you're not going to walk by a Bible every day and not pick it up and read it, or not get involved in what it says, and not try to come to these conclusions of knowing what the will of God is. Because that's what he wants you to know. I think that's our test. That's the reason we're here in this life. To make those decisions. And I truly feel like that if God is going to give you a part in the person of his son, if you're going to rule and reign with him forever, and you were chosen before he ever created anything, well, scientists tell you that could have been 14, 15, maybe longer than that, million years ago. So has God known you for 15 million years? I have to stop and say, hey, wait a minute. God has known me all this time. And I made it to 30 to 33 years old before I ever got to the point that I could say, Lord, I believe what you're telling me. I believe what you said. And I'm getting my mind and my heart together to where you can use me. And I'm 82 years old now, and I think that that's the reason. Because I look around, and all the McCurrys that I knew never lived more than 76 years. Well, why has he given me this grace?
Well, makes you wonder, don't it?
But I thank him for it. Amen. Every day, every morning, when I wake up, and I wake up and I look out the window, I said, well, I'm still at my house. And I said, Lord, I thank you for the day.
Amen.
I thank you for the day. Bless me in it today. And that's before I ever start cooking for myself. So, there's a lot to this. And so, thank you for letting me ramble on for a minute. But we're going to look at Ephesians 5, and we're going to start in verse 11. Because we ended last week on the positive notes. Now, there's positives and negatives to these portions of Scripture. And the positives was verse 8, 9, and 10 of Ephesians 5, and the negative is 11 and 12 there. And you won't find that in Jack's Workman's Interlinear in stated that way, but when you look at the structure in the Companion Bible, you will see that, and you will get, that's the reason I like to read all of them together. Mm-hmm. Now we're not getting many verses per night, but that's the reason, because we're looking at it in the King James and the Koine, and then in regular English out of the Koine Greek. Okay. So we're going to start with verse 11 of chapter 5, and it says this, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And that word reproved is an unusual kind of a word, but it means to convict or to bring to light. And certainly God is light, and God can bring to light anything that Satan has put in your way in darkness, because that's what Satan works in. He works in the dark side of things, because all these things are either untruths or they have been changed to suit Satan's plan for overthrowing the plan and purpose of God and His Son. So, have no fellowship. And that means do not partner with those things that you run across in your life that people try to get you involved in. Because if you reprove them, that means you have convicted that thing, or you've brought it into light to where it can be understood by those that need to understand it.
Expose the dark side of it.
Yeah. The dark, God can take the dark part away from it, and you can see it for what it is. That's what the Holy Spirit helps you do. That's the reason that He's in you. But not only is He your GPS or God's perfect Son, if we want to call it that, because it's not a global positioning system, that's for sure. But it's God's way of dealing with us in a way that we would walk in the right direction according to the plan and purpose of God. Okay, so when you look at it in the Koine, it says, and I can't read it in the Greek, so I have to read it in the English, but when it's transposed into the English here, there are spaces between it, and sometimes it's a cause for thought. And that's the reason I like the way Jack did it here in his Workman's Interlinear. And verse 11 says, and know, have fellowship with the works, unfruitful, of the darkness, rather, but also reprove. Now, if we bring it on down and make it a little easier and just go straight through it, it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but also reprove. And then Jack's answer to this verse, or his, what he has written about it, says this, the workers of iniquity may bear fruit for Satan, knowingly or unknowingly. So here these works are referred to as unfaithful or unfruitful. They do not produce fruit for his glory, and therefore what they produce is not lasting. Because the things of Satan just isn't going to stand the test
temporal
of time. Their fruit may be approved in the world, but they are not those things which praise his name, so therefore they're unfruitful. Jack says this crosses the boundaries of religion as well as secular areas. If the work of darkness are noted and understood, they should be reproved. And it says, who can do this but his faithful one? So you see, we have been filled with what it takes to know the difference. If you're paying somebody to tell you what you ought to know, then maybe you should look a little further, delve a little further into your hope. Because the Holy Spirit, if he dwells within you, he can certainly put you on the right track and keep you on the right track if you allow him to put the old man away and cling to the new man. When you raise your hand or whatever you said, when you told God, I believe what you said. Okay, that's enough preaching again. We get down to verse 12. Let's go back to the King James Version. It says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret. And so, things done in darkness is what we're talking about here. Things done in darkness. Evil is done under the cover of darkness or in secret. If somebody says, hey, come with me, let's join this place, they've got their own secrets. Oh, gee, maybe you need to think about that a little bit. So that word secret there,
a little bit.
In the Greek, that word secret there is kruphi. Kruphi. And that is something that we need to avoid. Certainly need to avoid. Things done in secret and things done in darkness, there's not very much difference between the two. It all falls into kind of the same category. Verse 12 in the Koine. And it reads this way, the things for in secret being done by them, shameful it is even to say. So in the Koine Greek, Paul says, it's shameful even not so much to think about, but not to even say it. Because you know where it's coming from. That's pretty basic stuff. For the things being done by them in secret, he says, it is even shameful to say. So, in all these verses, Jack has left a message. And the message on this one is to compare civilizations may throw light on certain practices of the time. It is largely an unnecessary undertaking, however. The catalog of sin is not new. As Solomon observed, and listen to this, Solomon said, there is no new thing under the sun, Ecclesiastes 1:9. You don't have to get too far in Ecclesiastes because God gave Solomon extra wisdom. And this is what Solomon said about it. Sin is as old as the creation of Satan or sometime thereafter, since we do not know the exact time of Ezekiel 28 or Isaiah 14. It's not really necessary that we need to know this because it's known. That's what Satan does. He is against God and he's against God's will and he's against God's work and he's against God's creation here. And we're part of it.
Amen.
Okay. I guess I am preaching a little bit. Things may have been hidden from other men, but nothing is hidden from the eyes of God. Ezekiel 5:11. If you don't believe it, read it. Sometimes. We do not need to dwell upon the doings of the wicked. We do not need to speak of their shame except to bring it to light. Certainly the wise heart deals with sin wisely. That is a good statement. Certainly the wise heart, if your mind and heart is in tune with God, it will deal with sin wisely. That just makes good sense. God deals with sin conclusively and ultimately. Christ is the final answer to our sin question. Let man look to him and avoid his judgments. So that's what he said about verse 12. So 11 and 12 is in the negative, but yet it is important for us to know not only the positive things, because if you just get half of the information, then how can you make decisions with your mind and your heart, even with the help of the Holy Spirit? You see, we need all the tools that we have in our toolbox to keep ourselves going in the right direction. That's how it works. Okay, let's go back to the positive things. I like them better. 13, 14, and 15. Will kind of conclude, the first part of this situation. But in 13, it says this in the King James Version. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. So you don't have to go far in John to realize that God is light in the book of John.
Right. First chapter.
Yeah. That even when the earth was brought up out of the water, God was the light for the first day or two until he put the sun in place. So, you know, that should tell us something. But the Koine Greek in verse 13 says this, the things but all being reproved by the light made manifest. And you bring it down to the latter English, it says, but all the things being reproved are made manifest by the light. And who's the light? God and his son is the light. And Jack's rest of this verse is this. It is wonderful to be surrounded by light in the darkness. Oh, if we just had light, you know, a lot of times we'll get in a storm or something and the power will go out, and then, well, you know, if we had a little light, it'd be so much better. I remember my wife saying this.
Oh, yeah.
When the kids would be hollering and hooping around and the house would be dark and we'd have to get out and hunt lamps and candles and all this stuff. Because we wasn't ever really ready for it. But, I mean, we had the stuff, but we didn't
have it in one place.
We didn't have it in one place where we knew where it was exactly. And I guess a lot of us are that way. The way is clear. Jack says, obstruction to those in the world are made clear by the light. The body members does not have to stumble over the things of darkness. The word has reproved that which would harm us. But what's left? We need to thank God for His truth, which lights our ways. Proverbs 4:18. Now the light shines on all things. And guess what? The darkness flees from the light. Satan's things flees from the true light. When God puts His light on it, Satan, he just can't stand in that light. He just can't take that. Okay, let's look at 14. And then wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And, this is a paraphrase of Isaiah 60, 1 and 2, in 14 here. So we go back to the Koine in 14, and it says, all for the made manifest, light is. Wherefore he says, arouse. That sleeps and rise up out of the dead and shall shine upon you the Christ. So if you're going to get shined up on when you come forth from that sleep, you'll be in the light of Christ. So we can have that hope. Let's read it without the spacings. For all is light made manifest, wherefore he says, arise those who sleep and rise up of the dead, and the Christ shall shine upon you. And Jack says, once again, light makes matters clear. Darkness does not. Those who slumber in darkness should wake up into the light. They should, as Jack says, forsake the cemetery. The Lord will lavish His light upon them. What a change. Just think on this. What a change to walk from blackness into light. The Lord can be no other way than John 8:12 as being the light of the world.
Amen.
Also see Isaiah 60:1. Much emphasis is made on this simple analogy. What analogy could be more simple for the darkened, lost person? If you had the hope of awaking unto the glorious light of Christ. Oh my goodness. And I have done it. And I have seen others do it. Turn their back on that analogy time and time again. When someone got up and preached from the Word of God and called for them to come to know Him. Then we get to verse 15. And this is the last of the positive verses in this particular aspect of this. 15, it says, see then, in the King James, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. But as wise was it. And so I wrote in my note, watch your step. Be wise about the snares of Satan. This is what Paul has been trying to tell us all down through all this. That there's all kinds of things out there that Satan can get you involved in. Wants to get you involved in. But they are snares of Satan. Verse 15. Let's look at it in the coin A. It says, take heed, therefore, accurately, how you walk around, not as unwise, but rather as wise. And you bring it on down to the what we would probably call the updated version. Therefore, accurately take heed how you walk, not as unwise, but rather as wise. Jack says this. The walk we're talking about is not a cakewalk. I like it sometimes when Jack breaks these things off. And I've been sitting under his hearing and did that quite a few times and I appreciated all of them. It is not a walk in the park. The walk of the body believer produces much and therefore has great values to those in the vicinity of that walk. So Jack says, look, take heed. Measure your steps. See Psalms 32:8. Read that. As a wise man whose wisdom is of the Lord, Jack says, much is at stake. Let him guide your footsteps. Be concise. And then he goes on with a little bit of negative in this verse because it started out positive, but Jack says, the world is a minefield. It's like a battleground where they have mines been left out there. Where
you don't know.
When you walk through it, you don't know what you're going to hit. You don't know what you're going to meet up with. And so that's pretty much what Jack's saying. Okay, so we've got down through 15. But the next part of this picks up in 5:18. So we got two verses of scripture here that's not in structure. And let's look at them because I think they're important. How much time we got left now?
Oh, it's 9:12.
9:12. Okay. So we're going to look at 16 and 17. And the Apostle Paul keeps reminding us that the evil one is still out there. But he says this in 16, redeeming. And redeeming is to buy back. That's what Christ did for us. He bought us back. He paid our price. But Paul says redeeming the time because the days are evil. So we've got to be careful as to how we spend this time. You see, it's not money that's being exchanged. It's your life that's being exchanged. Every day of your life. Like I said, when I wake up in the morning, every day of your life is something that you can spend if God allows you to live that day.
Yeah.
And what you've got to spend is what God would have you to put forth for Him in the place where you are. And a lot of people say, well, I live over here and I live in this state and I'm the only one that believes like this. Well, that's the reason God's got you there. There's a reason why you're there. If you're doing the work of God for Christ, or if you're doing the work of Christ, that's the reason you're there. You don't have to scratch your head and think, well, why am I here? I could be somewhere else. Well, why aren't you somewhere else? You're there maybe because this was the path that God set you on. Let's consider that. When we're, you know, we're thinking. So redeeming or buying back that time, making up for our time in darkness or in sin, because I spent 33 years in darkness. Although I was getting light from those that loved me, I was being groomed without knowing it. To understand what I know today. And that's very little. But yet, I'm still learning. I'm in a constant state of learning. I hope to learn something new every day. I come in and told Ronnie today, well, I learned something new. And I told him what it was, but it wasn't about the Word of God. It was about the secular things that I have in my life that keeps me warm. And that's cutting wood.
I don't think you could ever learn anything.
I have got a wood pile because we had a tornado to come through here. And I got about 6 or 8 big loads of wood from the tornado wood that got blown down. And that wood pile is keeping me hot even in the summertime because I'm up there working it up little by little. And I'm hoping, and this is my hope, that same wood is going to keep me warm this winter when I'm sitting around the heater, can't get out and do things.
Heats you twice.
So it's going to heat me twice. So that's what I learned today. I learned how to do it a little easier. And that's a great thing. But we've got to make up for our time in darkness, our sin. Because the days are still evil. And Satan is still around. I mean, he's the prince and power of the air. So he has his minions working and they're still working. And this is kind of what we're talking about here, but, hopefully we're looking toward the God side of it rather than Satan's side of it. So 16 says this, buying back the time because the days evil are. Because the days are evil. That's in the way we would say it today. And this is what Jack says. How much of your life has been gone when you finally saw the light, you gave your heart and faith to the blessed head. Just look what lies ahead of you now. It is time, sometime, and much has been spent in darkness. How much can you redeem it to fill the treasures of heaven? What can you do with what you have wasted if you had it back to fill the treasures of heaven? That's a good question. That's our job here, folks, is being part of the body of Christ. How many days remain for you to walk in light? To glorify His name, to walk in His light. What influence can you light, can your light walk, have among those in darkness around you? That's the other good question. Redeem this time. Fill it with praise and thanksgiving. And if you need some help, turn a few pages over and look at Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, and chapter 4 and verse 5 in Colossians. You don't have to go far. Paul has laid it all out here for us. This 2.35% of the book that we call the Bible, this is what Jax took up in these 7 epistles that he's got in this book here. It's just not even 2.5% of the part of the whole Bible when you think about it. And here we are. And I finally jumped into it with both feet. My feet's a little muddy, I guess. Nevertheless, here we are. Let's look at 17 anyway. 17 goes with 16, and it says this. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understand the difference between being unwise and wise is your understanding. This is the learning of the wisdom that God has imparted to you and me and has given us the ability to make these decisions. I'm going to read it again. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. 18, or 17, I'm sorry. So when you look at 17 in the Koine, it says, though this not be foolish, but rather understanding what the will of the Lord. And it just stops. But when you come on down to today's rendering, it says, though this be not foolish, but rather understanding what is the will of the Lord. And so Jack goes on to conclude with this for this verse. If one meditates upon this, he can see that it is very foolish to try to go on one's own way when he can walk according to God's will. He knows the path ahead, including every pebble on the rocky path, every slippery area to make one fall, every high grassy area, possibly the lair of a viper. For the soldier of the Lord, he guides the pathways through the mines forever thoughtless walker, the rock of offense? Why then choose a way to the side of his way? Take up the map. You probably got it before you right now, and that's the word. And take his hand and let him guide you as his child. But rather understanding what the will of the Lord. How great to understand his will, which is clearly laid out in his rightly divided word. And so that gets us through 17. How much time we got left?
It's 9:23.
9:23. Well, let me just say this. Let me just read this. Chapter 5, verse 22 through 6 through 9. It is the walk of you with yours, meaning your close friends and family. It is your domestic walk. That's your family walk. So, you know, I think Paul is trying to say the greatest walk that you can have is in front of your family, because they're with you more than everybody else is. Okay. So we're gonna deal with that. But it goes from the verse 22 of chapter 5 through the 9th verse of chapter 6. Now, this is broken down again too in structure in your companion Bible. So go back, and if you look at 5:18 through 5:21, it deals with you and me as a body member living in this time. So, if we're going to deal with family, if we're going to be before our family, if we're going to have our walk before our family, and we're a body member, and we realize and we understand that we've been chosen from before the foundation of the world, and we're living in this age, in this time, Paul has written this 2,000 years ago, but it's still for us today. This is truth for today.
Amen.
So verse 18, 19, 20, and 21 deals with a body member and his walk before his family. And so let's just stop today and pick it up and go. That's a good place to make the transition.
I would agree.
To make the change. Because you think there's should not be anyone more available to you to, and me for us to tell them about not only the finished work of Christ, but the body of Christ also. Here, that should be first and foremost, especially within our family. We don't know. We just hope that they will live long enough to make a decision to come around and see it. So that's where we are here. And so nothing is left out. Now you think about this. We've talked about walking with unbelievers. We've talked about walking with believers, and we've talked about walking and how not to walk also, because it goes both ways. But the fact is that we're now getting down to the nitty-gritty of this thing, is dealing with those that we deal with most frequently. And Paul's got to get a little bit to say about it. You may not agree with him on what he says, but he wrote the book according to what God wanted him to say. So I can't argue with that. I'm not going to argue with that. I'm not even going to try to argue with that.
Not our call.
I'm just going to try to put myself in that place to see, hopefully, if I measure up. So that's where we're going. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I measure up, because I'm not going to judge myself. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit do that for me.
Amen.
In that sense. But I know I fall short. We all do. We're all sinners saved by grace. That's what we are.
Mm-hmm.
We still are. We're sinners. But we've been bought and paid for with a price. Christ has redeemed us. He just hasn't come back and collected us yet. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, sending somebody a card with numbers and said, I want this. I'm swapping these numbers for this. Well, that's what Christ did for us. He said, I'm swapping my blood for your lousy sins. How great is that?
Amen.
Woo! I ain't got a glory flag to wave like Larry used to have, but I blowed my nose on it and I put it in the dirty clothes while ago. But that's the way it is. And this is kind of how this is laid out. And a lot of times when we look at scripture and when we look at the King James Version, it's a good version. I don't have too many qualms with it, but the fact is that when you compare it to the original writings, and you pick up on what you see through the King James Version, and it gives you structure, and it gives you some words and notes that is very handy, very important to know and understand, and then you get into the Greek and read how it's put forth that way and what Paul said about it, and then Jack's rendering of his version of it is, I thought, was a great way to do all this. And I'm hoping everybody's getting something from it, like I am. I am learning. And I'm still learning. I got some understanding of this way back 40 something years ago, almost 50 years ago, but 1971 was the start. But I learned what Larry Dyer told me one time, and he didn't tell only me, but he told others. He said, did you bring your thimble? And I said, why would I need a thimble? He said, well, I've got a dump truck load here, and you're going to be able to take a thimble full home with you.
About right.
And I looked at him like he was crazy, and then I realized, no, it was me that was crazy. Because I didn't have the answer for that. Well, think about it a little bit. When you put your wisdom up against that that God has revealed through His Word, there's truly a dump truck load there, and you're only going to get a little bit at the time. Because that's all you can digest. You know, you can pile your plate as full on the table as you want if you find something good to eat. But guess what? If you overdo it, you're going to make yourself sick. And then none of it's going to be worthy to you. Well, that's kind of the way the word is. You need to take it in doses that you can stand.
Amen.
And so that's what I've been trying to do here, to give it to us in small doses that we can understand it. Because this is great stuff. Man, this is it. You got nowhere else to go. The hope is laid out before us here. And by the time, if we could get through all seven of these epistles, look what we would have come in these last seven epistles. Because this is where Paul has got his act together. God has given him what he wanted him to know. And the Apostle Paul was a smart individual.
Yeah.
And when he wrote it down, it was certainly what the Holy Spirit had given him to say. Thank you for being with us, and God bless you, and may his love dwell in your heart and make a light that will cause people to shade their eyes with.
Thank you, Pop.